Greetings. This is lesson 11 on our journey through the Word of Yahweh, and we'll begin with a word of prayer to our blessed Heavenly Father, Adonai Yahweh. We thank you, Adonai Yahweh of hosts, the Creator of all things, and through your Son, Christ Yahushua, for these words we're about ready to read, and we ask you to open up the eyes of our understanding that we may see you in your fullness. We're not here to please men. We're not here and we're not going to be afraid of men. So let us open our eyes that we can carry on your course and fulfill our mission in life through Christ our Lord. And thank you, Christ, for being our head. And through you we come to the Father. Amen. Well, this particular session will be called Who is This Man? Which is to reference Christ. Who is Christ? I know we talked about last lesson that we're going to begin with the Gospel of John. That'll be our next lesson because this needs to come first before the Gospel of John. There's a paper we wrote, and it's in Volume 2 of our book, Who is This Man? On page 308. So for full impact of this lesson, you need to read that paper. And he is called the Last Adam, the Second Man, the Man of Heaven. So we're going to get a good glimpse of who Christ Yahushua is. As we know from the scriptures, is that Yahweh is the creator and father of all creation. So let's just make sense. Yahweh is the creator of everything. So he has to be the father of everything also. And that is specified in Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 15, which reads, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every fatherhood in the heavens and upon the earth is named." So Yahweh is the father of Adam and Eve and the father of Cain and Abel. He's the father of all life. He's the father of messengers, whether good or evil. He's the father of those who chose to be demons. He's the father of the 24 elders who surround his throne in Book of Revelations 4:4. He's the father of the four living creatures who proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy, Yahweh Elohim of hosts," which is recorded in Revelation 4:6 through 8. He's the father of the adversary. He's the father of the beast and the false prophet. He's the father of his only begotten son, Yahushua. Our creator and maker is Yahweh, and he alone. And so we'll begin reading this, we'll begin in Isaiah 42 verse 5. And this subject is very important because as of today, so many younger people and older people say Jesus is the creator or Christ is the creator. And so we must look to the scriptures to see if what they are saying is true. Is Jesus our creator or is Christ our creator? So this is our study to see who this man, Christ Yahushua, is, or Mashiach Yahushua, and we'll all go see who is Yahweh. Let's kind of begin, through history, there's been many errors, and the errors kind of compound, and they're coming from our adversary. First and foremost is, we know that there's a teaching that started around the 325 A.D., which is the Nicene Creed, which professes three gods, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that we talked about this before, there is no Trinity in the Scriptures, there is no word incarnation in the Scriptures, there's no place that says God the Son in the Scriptures, there's no place that says God the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. But what we're going to see is through this teaching, and what I've noticed is, at least at that time, you had God the Father, all right, and then you had God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. What we're going to see right now is there's no longer what I've seen in movies and teachers and so forth is God the Father. He has really been, it seems to appear to be wiped out totally. There's no more talking of him. There's just Jesus who is God. Jesus who is the creator. So everybody's talking to Jesus and nobody anymore is talking about Yahweh was wiped out a long time ago. At least they could be talking about God the Father, but now it appears that many, many, many people in songs and in books have completely erased God the Father or Yahweh, and now it's just become Jesus. And this as we're going to see in the scriptures, is not true, and really it's blasphemy, and it's the breaking of the first commandment, which we will see. But if we don't, let's just see who the creator is. Very simple. We know in Genesis 1 who the creator is Elohim. He identified his name in chapter 2, which is Yahweh Elohim. So Yahweh is the creator, but let's just go through this again. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith El himself, Yahweh, creator of the heavens that stretched them forth, outspreader of earth and the products thereof, giver of breath to the people thereon, and of ruach to them who walk therein. There he is. Yahweh is our creator. In Isaiah 44, 24, you're going to see him be called our maker. Thus saith Yahweh, who hath redeemed thee, who hath fashioned thee from birth. I, Yahweh, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens alone, stretching forth the earth of myself. Obviously, Yahweh, and this is all the way through here, is the creator, not Christ, his son, Yahushua. Now we go to Exodus chapter 30, and we're going to see what is our number one commandment that Yahweh gave us. Now, Bullinger does a very interesting study on this in the Companion Bible. And he says there's five commandments related to Yahweh, and there are five commandments that are what men are not supposed to do. And this is very good, too, because he said Christ said the same thing. When people said, what are the law? He broke the law in two segments. Thou shalt have Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first half. Second half, thou shalt have thy neighbor as thyself. So the first section is Yahweh. The second section is man. But we're going to see the commandment of these first five commandments. And what we're going to notice is it's always Yahweh Elohim in these first five commandments. When we get to the last five, the word Yahweh Elohim is absent. It says, they start with thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. All of them, thou shalt not. But the first five are all dealing with Yahweh, which we're going to read Exodus 21 through 12. And it doesn't say Jesus, all right? It says Yahweh. And as we know, when people say, well, Jesus is Yahweh, no, we absolutely not. Jesus, or Yahushua, is the only begotten Son of Yahweh. How simple is this? But we'll see how bad this is, how far this has gone. And you see all the fingerprints of our adversary. One thing that we can see is, in our adversary, we see him in the dark places of life, in the unbeliever, the people who want partial birth abortion, or they want sodomy, and he's very evident right there. So none of us are fooled. But there's another side of our adversary as tares among the wheat who has infiltrated the church. And so the church itself, in many cases, is teaching the doctrines of demons, which we will see. And sometimes knowingly, and probably most of the time unknowingly, but we have to unwind that. And it's been going on since 300 AD. It's probably been going on since Galatians. You know, the same thing when Paul wrote to talked to the Galatians, and they were already bewitched probably in a matter of months or a year. But let's start with Exodus 20, verse 1. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, what? I am Yahweh thy Elohim. Who is our God? Jesus. No. Who is our God? Yahweh is our Elohim, who hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants. Thou shalt not have other Elohims besides me. Thou shalt not make to thee an image, or any form that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Let's just ask you a question. Are there any forms of Christ? Tons of them. Are there any forms of spirit, which would be the Holy Spirit dove or fire to represent the Holy Spirit? Yes. Are those images? Yes. If these are gods, then we're breaking the absolute first commandment right off the bat, because we have images. But as we see, they are not gods. But anybody who says they are gods, if Christ is God, then you cannot have any image. And so if you have a picture of him in your house, you're breaking the first commandment. In verse 5, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor be led to serve them, for I, Yahweh, thy Elohim. He says it again. Who is our Elohim? Yahweh. Imagel is El, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon sons, upon three and four generations of them that hate me, but showing loving kindness unto thousands of generations of them who love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not utter the name of Yahweh thy Elohim. There it is. Who is our Elohim? Yahweh. For falsehood. For Yahweh will not let them go unpunished who utter his name for falsehood. Remember the Sabbath day to hallow it. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath unto who? Jesus. No, it's not unto Jesus. Unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Thou shalt do no work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy servants, nor thy handmaid, or thy beast, or the sojourner who is within thy gates. For in 6 days did Jesus make the heavens. No, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on this seventh day. From this cause, Jesus blessed the Sabbath day. No, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be prolonged upon the soil which Jesus thy God is about to give unto thee. No, that's Yahweh thy God is about ready to give to thee. So we see how infinite this is. Yahweh is our Elohim, not Jesus is our Elohim. Jesus, or Yahushua, is just as upset about what is happening and what is happening, you know, to him, where he has been exalted over his father, and his father has been erased, it appears, by many people. What we're going to see is, we saw that Yahushua, in Matthew 22:36, is going to repeat these commandments. And one thing that's very interesting is somebody came up to him and said, What are the best laws? And he's going to say them. All right. And that's Matthew 22:36. And the person says, Teacher, which commandment is greatest in the law? And he said unto him, Thou shalt love me, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Did he say that? No, he did not say that. He says, he quoted Deuteronomy 6:4-5. He says, Thou shalt love who? Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If Jesus was Yahweh, all right, then that makes no sense, because he would say, you shall love me. But obviously, Jesus is not Yahweh. He's the son of Yahweh. So what we've got to do is let the scriptures speak for themselves and stop what the traditions of men have been saying. By making Jesus Yahweh, they are breaking the first five commandments, which we saw. There are images of Yahushua. There are images of the Spirit. But as we know, there are no images of Yahweh. So in your particular case, any of us, what image do we have of Yahweh in our house? None. What image of Yahweh do we have about our necks as a bracelet? Do we have a cross? No. Do we have a tattoo? No. The only thing image we have of Yahweh is Scripture. All right, which is not an image of Yahweh, it's just what he has said. But as we can see, we have images of Yahushua and images of Spirit, but we have no image of Yahweh, which is right. But if the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, if Yahushua is God the Son, then we are in absolute violation of the first commandment. The average Assyria has changed the scriptures and through men, and we're going to go see this through 2 Corinthians 4:4. So our adversary is always behind this, and there's nothing better than he can do is to mock and slander our Creator, or his Creator, all right? Because he knows his consequences of what's going to happen to him. But he is diabolical. All right, and he needs man's hands and feet, which they've given to him. So let's just read what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. in whom the Elohim of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, to the end they may not discern the radiance of the glad message of the glory of the Christ, who is the image of Yahweh. Very simple. What people say, they just scratch out the image of. So let's just see how this verse is read today in their minds. To the end they may not discern the radiance of the glad message of the glory of the Christ, who is God. So they just scratch out the image. How about Philippians 2:6? reads, who in form of Yahweh, and this is about Yahushua, who in form of Yahweh subsisting, not a thing to be seized, accounted the being equal with Yahweh. But what they're going to do is cross out in form. So instead of saying who in form of Yahweh, they're going to say who Yahweh subsisting, not a thing to be seized, counting the being equal with Yahweh. So obviously it makes no sense, but they cross out or remove in form of. Colossians 1:15. You see, it was all over the place. And Colossians is where people get Christ being the creator, which we'll cover. But he is not the creator. Yahweh is the creator. But in 1:15, who is the image of the unseen God, firstborn of all creation? Well, they're going to say, who is God, firstborn of all of creation? They just crossed out an image of the unseen. How about 2 Corinthians 5:19? And so we do this, and you see how bad this is. And I hope not in your lives, you know, but we've got to be sharp on this because it goes right down to the core of breaking the first commandment. And 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, in behalf of Christ, therefore, are we ambassadors, and if Yahweh was beseeching through us, we entreat in behalf of Christ, be reconciled unto Yahweh. Wait a minute, I'm on the wrong verse. Let's look at verse 19. How that Yahweh was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Well, what they're going to say is how that Yahweh was Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so they're just going to remove by their teaching the word in, I am. Which obviously we know it was Yahweh in Christ. It's not Yahweh who is Christ. Who is this man, Christ Yahushua? All right, we know that Christ has a head who is Yahweh. That's 1 Corinthians 11:3. Yahweh has no head. We know that Christ has a father. That's Ephesians 1:3. And Yahweh has no father. We know Christ has a God. And that's Ephesians 1:3. And John 20:17 and many others. But Yahweh has no God. Christ is seated at Yahweh's right hand. But Yahweh is just seated. Nobody, you know, so he's at the pinnacle. Christ could do nothing by himself, John 5:19. Yahweh is all-powerful. Christ doesn't know everything, Matthew 24:36. Yahweh does. Christ was born, that's Psalms 2:7. Yahweh has no beginning. Christ is a man, 1 Timothy 2:5. Yahweh is not. Christ is the seed of David. Yahweh is not of any seed. Christ is a prophet, apostle, priest. Yahweh is not. Christ is a son, or Yahushua is a son. Yahweh is a father. Very simple. The Nicene Creed was done 325 A.D. Now let me read this to you. And the first is adequate. And it says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible. Okay, fair to say. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten. So far, so good. Pretty good. But now we're going to see the rest of it. This is where all the problem comes. Of his Father, of the substance of the Father. I don't know what that means. God, and they're going to say this about Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, both which be in heaven and in earth. Well, what's going on here? We just see at the beginning it says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things, visible and invisible. Now they're going to say that was God the Father. Or they would say, yeah, God the Father. Now they're going to say God the Son is also God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, both which he in heaven and in earth. Where's this, a chapter and verse for any of these scriptures? They're not there. And the rest of it says, for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate and was made man. Where's this incarnate come from? And we're going to deal with came down from heaven. He suffered, and the third day he rose again and ascended into heaven. That's correct. And he shall come again to judge both the quick and the dead. That's correct. So what we're seeing as our adversary, we have truth, we have clear water, and then we have muddy water being put into the same glass. And that's where things start getting fogged up. The next part of it says, and we believe in the Holy Ghost. Now here's what is interesting as it keeps reading. And that's all right. And whosoever shall say that there was a time when the Son of God was not, or that before he was begotten, he was not, or that he was made of things that were not, or that he is of a different substance or essence of the Father, so that he is a creature or subject to change or conversion, all that so say, the Catholic and Apostolic Church anathematize them, which curses them. So we see that last part is the same situation. So what has happened is, at least back in 325, we had kind of a tier system. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But now we're seeing just Jesus. You know, Yahweh got erased a long time ago. The God the Father in my generation is being erased. Until right now, it's just Jesus. All right, we see songs about it. And so what is coming down is the chickens are coming home to roost because of these errors. All right, Yahweh has been erased, as we know, and people have made Jesus their God. Yahshua came into existence unlike any other man. So let's just say, who is this Yahshua? By saying he's not Yahweh, it's not insulting. It's just the truth of the matter. So let's just examine how he came into existence. We're going to see, first and foremost, that Adam and Eve were brought into existence unlike any other people. They were perfect and flawless. Everybody have to agree with that. Elohim spoke them into existence on day six. They had no mother or father except for Yahweh. His word put them into existence. No savior or redeemer was necessary until they chose and disobeyed Yahweh, which death came about them. By them rejecting what Yahweh says, they became in need of a savior. The children of Adam, which is all of us, are all born within blemish. We are all blemished when we're born. But Yahushua is not like one of us. And he was not. Yahushua was the son of Elohim, or Yahweh, and son of Adam. Yahweh spoke into existence through Spirit, Holy Ruach. And so we know, what is Holy Ruach? Or Ruach, it is the invisible force. And so when the Ruach was over the face of the water, power came forth. When we see Ruach was over Mary, power came forth. And to the best of our knowledge, obviously, the woman in a birth contributes the egg, while the male contributes the sperm. And since there was a woman involved, but no male involved, what needed to be created was the sperm or the seed. So Yahweh must have spoken to existence the sperm, the perfect sperm, that united with Mary's egg, which was imperfect. And that became Yahushua. Yahushua, and nobody was made like this. All right? But this did not make him special. It made him special, but he still had to accomplish something. By being born, his mission was not over. It was just beginning, because Yahushua is Lord of all creation, not because of his birth, but because of his accomplishment. He completed his mission, and that's Philippians 2:6. Let's just read that, Philippians 2:6, and you're going to see this is why he is Lord, not because he was born. Because Adam and Eve were born, and they were sons of Yahweh, the sons of Elohim. But they disobeyed. We're going to see in Philippians 2:6. Well, let's start at verse 5. The same thing esteemed in yourself, which also in Christ Yahushua ye esteem, who in the form of Yahweh, subsisting, just like Adam and Eve, not a thing to be seized, accounted that being equal with Yahweh. Adam and Eve wanted to be equal to Yahweh. But himself emptied, they did not empty themselves. Taking a servant's form, they did not take a servant's form. Coming to be in men's likeness, and in fashion being found as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient as far as death, yea, death upon the cross. Because of this, because of all these things that he did, this is why Yahweh uplifted him far on high and favored him with a name which is above every name, in order that in the name of Yahushua every knee might bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and underground, and every tongue might openly confess that Yahushua Mashiach is Lord, unto the glory of Jesus the Father. No. Unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. That is Philippians 2:6. Yahushua did not inherit his position, he earned it. It was all by works of what he did. The difference between Adam and himself is that he obeyed Yahweh, and that's Philippians 2:6, Hebrews 5:1 through 10, Revelations 5:1 through 5, and then verse 12. He obeyed Yahweh, while Adam and Eve did not. Yahushua is a man right now. He's a son of Elohim, son of Adam, who has been exalted above all the families of Yahweh. And as we saw that just in Philippians 2. In the beings in heaven and on earth, there's a whole families of creation that we don't even know exist, but they exist, and Yahweh knows them all. He is a being equipped with the power of Yahweh, immortal, incorruptible, all-powerful, who is running as a CEO our present universe. He's a CEO of who made him CEO? But Yahweh made him CEO. He is presently running our universe until there's a time where he's going to stop being the CEO. And Yahweh is going to take over until death and Sheol are thrown into the lake of fire. And let's just read 1 Corinthians 15:20. This tells a great story. 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 28. But now... Now, our subject is the resurrection from among the dead, or really the awakening from among the dead, all the way through this, you know, through this book where it says raise is the word egaro, which means to awaken from among the dead. And that's what our subject is. But now hath Christ been awakened from among the dead, a first fruit of them who have fallen asleep. Oh, and that's another thing. Christ did die, and Yahweh doesn't die. 21st verse. For since indeed through a man came death, Adam, through a man also the awakening of the dead, Mashiach, Yahushua. For just as in Adam all die, so also in the Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own rank, a first fruit, Christ. After that, they who are the Christ in his presence. Afterwards, the end. whensoever he delivereth up the kingdom. Oh, wait a minute. What's this saying? He's going to deliver up the kingdom unto who? His God. Who is that? That's Yahweh, who is his Father. Whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and all authority and power. That's when he's going to deliver up the kingdom back to Yahweh. For he must needs reign until he shall put all enemies under his feet. As a last enemy, death is to be destroyed. For he put all things, and this is Yahweh, for Yahweh put all things in subjection under his feet. But whensoever it shall be said, all things are in subjection, it is evident that it means except Yahweh, who did put into subjection unto Christ the all things. So everything's under Christ's feet except for Yahweh, his Father, our Father. But whensoever have been put into subjection unto him, unto Christ, the all things, then the Son himself shall put in subjection unto Yahweh, unto him who put in subjection unto Yahweh the all things, that God, or that Yahweh, may be all things in all. Let me read that again, verse 28. But whensoever have been put into subjection unto Christ the all things, then the Son himself shall be put in subjection unto Yahweh, who put in subjections unto Christ the all things, that Yahweh may be all things in all. Very simple. So we can see, I don't know why we even have to discuss this subject, but it's so out of hand that we have to bring forth the verses. So let's just look at this man, Yahushua, who is in control right now. Why? Because Yahweh put him in control. He is the son of Yahweh, which is very evident. He was born, which means there's a time where he did not exist. We'll come with these other verses in John, when it talks about that he came down from heaven and what that must mean, because he can't contradict these verses. Here's Psalms 2. Wherefore hath nations assembled in turmoil? Well, let me point out one other thing I think has been noticed to me. Let's go to Acts 7. This is kind of improv, and this is Stephen, when he is being stoned. And what is he going to see when he's being stoned? And in 7 verse 55, but he, being full of holy ruach, looking steadfastly into heaven, saw what? The glory of Yahweh and Yahushua standing on the right hand of Yahweh. Well, let me just see here. Could he see Yahweh? No. He just saw the glory of Yahweh. But who did he see and who did he recognize? Yahushua. Yahushua is an image. We can see his face. He's a man. All right. He is not, he's not the creator. Yahweh is the creator. So there's two entities right there. One is non-recognizable because you can't make any images of him. And the second one is recognizable and you can't make an image of him because he's not Yahweh. Okay. Now we go back to Psalms 2. Wherefore hath, verse 1, wherefore hath nations assembled in turmoil, or should peoples mutter an empty thing? The kings of earth take their station, and grave men have met by appointment together against Yahweh and against his anointed one. This is so much going on today with the Obama administration and kings of different nations. They're taking on Yahweh and the anointed one. And these nations say, let us break asunder their bonds and cast from us their cords. Let's stop these moral laws. We want sodomy. We want partial birth abortion. We want euthanasia to break these bonds that Yahweh has put upon us through Christianity. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. My Lord will mock at them. Then will he speak unto them in his anger, and in his wrath confound them. Yet I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Let me tell the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, my son thou art. Okay, you have Yahweh and you have his son. I today have begotten thee. So he's going to be born. Ask of me and let me give nations as thy inheritance, as thy possessions the end of the earth. Thou shalt hug them. No. Thou shalt shepherd them with a scepter of iron. As a potter's vessel shalt thou dash them in pieces. Now therefore, ye kings, show your prudence. Be admonished, ye judges of earth. Serve Yahweh with reverence and exude with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye be perished by the way. For soon might be kindled his anger. How happy are all who seek refuge in him. His Son is, or this is, this same psalm is quoted in Acts 13:13, in Hebrews 1:5, and in chapter 5:5. We're going to also see that who is this man? We see that he's the Son of Yahweh. He's going to be born. His existence is going to come. We're going to also see that he is the son of Jesse. Yahweh is not the son of anybody. Yahweh is not the son of Jesse. All right, and that's Isaiah 11:1. But there shall come forth a shoot from the stalk of Jesse, and a sprout from his roots shall bear fruit. Ah, so it was a time when he was not. And so completely contrary to what the Nicene Creed says. So the Nicene Creed rejects the word of Yahweh, because it will say, but whosoever shall say that there was a time when the Son of God was not, or that before he was begotten he was not, or that he was made of things that were not, or that he is of different substance or essence, or that he is a creature or subject to change or conversion, all except to say the Catholic and Apostolic Church curses him, anathematizes him. Well, Scripture disagrees and curses them, because in Galatians this says, if you shall add anything to what I have said, let him be accursed. So actually these people are cursed. 11:1. But there shall come forth a shoot from the stalk of Jesse, and the sprout from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Ruach of Yahweh shall rest upon him. And the Ruach of wisdom and understanding, and the Ruach of counsel and might, the Ruach of knowledge and reverence of Yahweh, so shall he find fragrance in the reverence of Yahweh. And not by the sight of his eyes will he judge, nor by the hearing of his ears will he decide. But he will judge with righteousness them who are poor, and decide with equity for the oppressed of the land. And he will smite the land with the scepter of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips will he slay the lawless one. Wonderful. We also see that he is not only the son of Jesse, he's the son of David, son of Abraham, and that's Matthew 1:1. So we'll just read that. Matthew 1:1. The lineage roll of Yahushua Mashiach, son of David, son of Abraham. You cannot be the son of David, which we talked before, if you existed before David. You cannot be the son of Abraham if you existed before Abraham. So all this is nonsense if he always existed. We're going to see, too, not only is he Yahweh's son, he's Yahweh's servant. And so that's Isaiah 52. And we know he made himself a servant. That's in Philippians 2:6. But in Isaiah 52:13, lo, my servant prospereth. He riseth and lifteth up and becometh very high. The more that many were amazed at thee, so marred beyond any man was his appearance, and his form beyond the sons of men. There he is. And let's look at verse 10-12. Yet Yahweh purposed to bruise him. He laid on him sickness. If his soul become an offering for guilt, he shall see a seed, he shall prolong his days, and the purpose of Yahweh in his hand shall prosper. Of the travail of his soul shall he see. He shall be satisfied with his knowledge, a setting it right when set aside himself, shall my servant win for the many, since of their iniquity he taketh the burden. Therefore will I give him a portion in the great. So why is Christ, or why is Yahushua sitting at the right hand of Yahweh? Because he did Isaiah 53. He obeyed our Father. The consequence, therefore will I give him a portion in the great, and the strong shall he apportion that spoil, because he poured out to death his own nephesh, and with transgressors let himself be numbered. Yea, he the sin of the many bare, and for transgressors interposed. We'll keep reading about his servanthood, and obviously that's in Isaiah 61:1. The Ruach of Adonai Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to reign, no, to serve, to tell good tidings to the oppressed, hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim to captives liberty, to them who are bound the opening of the prison, to proclaim the year of acceptance of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim. He's also a servant. We are called sons of Elohim or of Yahweh, and we are Yahushua's brothers and sisters. We have the same Father. So we go to Matthew 12, verse 48, and Christ will say this very simply. So who is this Jesus? He's not the Creator. Jesus, Yahushua, is our brother. All right, who redeemed us, who paid the price for our redemption. Right? And he's Lord, which is not only our brothers, but we will all bow to him because of what he accomplished. But 12:48, it says, Yahushua answering said unto him when it was telling him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And stretching forth his hand toward his disciples, he said, lo, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in the heavens, he is my brother and sister and mother. Very simply, if Jesus is God, then I'm the brother of God, right? And if you're a woman, if Jesus is God, then you're the sister of God. That's what the scriptures say. We also see that in John 20, verse 17, which is just foolishness. John 20, verse 17, but our adversary, this is a very big stronghold we have to pull down. 20, verse 17, and here is Yahushua being seen by Mary. It being late, let me see here, 17, Yahushua said unto her, be not detaining me, for not yet have I ascended unto the Father, but be going unto my disciples and say unto them, I am ascending unto my Father and your Father, and my Elohim and your Elohim. So, Yahushua, this man, who is our Lord, is also our brother, and we have the same Father, who is Yahweh, who is the Creator. He is the only begotten Son of Yahweh, while we are not. And that makes a very difference, because he did something that none of us could do. Abraham and Isaac were the same way. So Isaac was called Abraham's only begotten son in Hebrew 11:17. And we know Abraham had other sons. He had Ishmael, and I think he had multiple children with the woman who he married after Sarah died. So we know Isaac was not his only son, but Hebrews 11:17 calls him his only son. Right? Well, that's the same way with Yahushua. He's so special. We're all children of Yahweh. All right? But Yahushua, he gave the title of his only begotten son. Very unique. And he deserves the honor. We're going to see this man, Yahushua, right now, is a man. 1 Corinthians 15, Yahweh is not a man. So, verse 45, thus also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living nephesh. The last Adam, Adam, a life-giving ruach. That's Yahushua. Howbeit, not first is the body of the ruach, but that of the soul, afterwards that of the ruach. The first man is of the ground earthly, Adam. The second man, Yahushua, what do you call him? The second man is of heaven. And as the man of earth, such also the men of earth. As the man of heaven, well, who's that? Who's the man of heaven? Yahushua. Such also the men of heaven. Even as we have borne the image of the man of earth, Adam, let's also bear the image of the man of heaven. Well, who is the man of heaven? It's Yahushua. He is a man right now. We go to Zechariah 6:12. This is the prophecy about Yahushua. All right? Then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, Lo, a man, bud is his name, and out of his own place shall he bud forth, and shall build the temple of Yahweh. Yeah, he shall build the temple of Yahweh. This is what's going to happen in the thousand-year kingdom. And he shall bear the honor, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and shall become a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between the court of them. That is a man, Bud is his name. Acts 2:22. Calling Yahushua a man is not dishonor. This is what the scriptures call him. He was a perfect man. They accomplished it. So it says in Acts 2:22, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Yahushua the Nazarene, a man, pointed out of Yahweh unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which Yahweh did through him in your midst, just as ye yourself know. They would never say, You men of Israel, hear these words. Yahushua the Nazarene, a God, pointed out by himself by mighty works and wonders and signs, which he did by himself in your midst, just as you also know. All right? That was not what's said, but that's what's said today. 1 Timothy 2:5, you say, well, he's a man then. That was his human form. And now he's not a man anymore. He is God. Well, let's just see what the scripture says about that. And that's 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one Elohim, and one Yahweh, or one Elohim, one mediator also between Yahweh and men, a man, Christ Yahushua. What is he? A man, Christ Yahushua, who gave himself a ransom to pass of all. There's always three in the Word, and this is what we got to see. There's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is Yahweh, Yahushua, and us. There's the three. And here's the three right there in these scriptures. There's one Elohim, one mediator also between Elohim and men, the man, Christ Yahushua. How many entities are involved there? There's three. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 8:6. And as we have said, our objective is always look at all the clear verses, because next session we'll handle the difficult verses where a lot of this doctrine comes of the Trinity from the Gospel of John. But we have to remember, if I have 10 clear verses that say one thing and one verse that says contrary to those 10, that one contrary verse has to be reconciled to the 10 clear verses. And that's why we're going with this segment first. Because in 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says, Yet to us there is one Elohim, Yahweh, or the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Mashiach Yahushua, or Yahushua Mashiach, through whom are all things, and we through him. So there's one God, who is Yahweh, and there is one Lord, which is Yahushua, or Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 8:6. In all the church epistles, we receive greetings from two entities, from Yahweh the Father and Lord Yahushua Mashiach, or Mashiach Yahushua. And they're always in that order. Yahushua is never on top. So, as you can see what is being raised, if people are talking to Jesus and only to Jesus on your church service, there's a huge sin that's being committed. And that is, you have dethroned Yahweh and you have enthroned Yahushua, his son, which we will handle for. Because Yahweh is always predominant. He is the creator. Yahushua was created by his father Yahweh. That's why he's called a son. That's why he's called born or begotten. There are three thrones, There's multiple thrones, but let's just look at here. There's a Yahweh's throne, and Yahweh's throne is Revelation 4, the whole chapter. Just read that. Now we're going to look at Yahushua's throne. And that's Revelation 3, verse 21. Yahushua says, "He that overcometh, I will give unto him to take his seat with me in my throne." So, chapter 4, you get to read all about Yahweh's throne, and then we get to see also Yahushua has a throne, as I also overcame and took my seat with my Father in his throne. So here we go with three thrones again. It is, "He that overcometh, I will give unto him to take his seat with me in my throne, as I also overcame and took my seat with my Father in his throne." So there's two thrones there, and there's three entities: the believers, Yahweh, and Yahushua. We're going to see this, and you go into, let's see here, chapter 22, verses 1 and 3, you'll also see the throne of Yahushua and the Lamb. Well, let's just go there. 22, verse 1 and 3. So the book begins with Elohim. Genesis begins with Elohim. And then Adam and Eve come into the picture. And then they fall. And then there's the promise of the seed of the woman. So he's coming in the future to crush the head of the serpent. And the end of the story ends up with two thrones. And that's chapter 22 of Revelations. "And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb." How many thrones are there? Two. Yahweh and of the Lamb. In the midst, it's not the throne of Jesus. It's the throne of Yahweh and there's of the Lamb. "And in the midst of the broadway thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that was a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit." And it goes on and on. We also know that Satan has a throne. And that's 2:13. Well, there's thrones all over the place. And in 2:13... we're going to read, "And I know where thou dwellest, where the throne of Satan is." Okay, Satan has a throne. And that's also in chapter 13, verse 2, chapter 16, verse 10. So, what we've got to do is these are scriptures. These are very evident. We're going to see in 2 Peter 3, we're going to see what is basically happening today. Are people wrestling with the scriptures to their own destruction? 2 Peter 3, verse 14, Peter's talking about Paul. "Wherefore, beloved, these things expecting, give diligence, unspotted, unblemished by him to be found in peace, and account our Lord's longsuffering to be salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So also in all letters, speaking in them concerning these things, in which letters are some things hard to be understood, which the uninstructed and unstable wrestle, as unto the other scriptures, unto their own destructions." So we are warned, don't wrestle with the scriptures unto your own destructions. And by these contrary doctrines that have been coming around, and now they've really come to roost where they have dethroned the Creator, which is the first commandment, and put Jesus on his throne. As I said at the beginning of our course, the problem that we have now, the scriptures say there's Yahweh, and then he has a son, which is called Yahushua, and then we all join them in the new earth. Then it was changed to three gods: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All right? Now we're getting to see there's no God the Father anymore. Not even God the Son. There's just Jesus. Or what I've been seeing on movies and a lot of different music. There's just Jesus. This has to be terrible for Yahushua to be witnessing. No different than what Paul and Silas did. And so, let me read you a little incident in Acts 14, verse 11. So I think it was, who was it? It was Paul and somebody else. I forget it was somebody else, but they healed somebody from it. Well, let's just read in verse 8. And a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, was sitting lame from his mother's womb, who never had walked. This man hearkened unto Paul as he was speaking, who looked steadfastly at him, and seeing he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on thy feet erect." And he sprang up and began to walk about. And the multitude, seeing what Paul had done, lifted up their voice in the speech of Lyconian, "The gods made like unto men have come down to unto us." This is what they're saying about Jesus. And they went on to call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury, seeing that he was the leader of discourse. Also the priest of the Jupiter that was before the city, bringing bowls and garland unto the gates with the multitude, would have offered sacrifices unto who? Paul and Barnabas. That's happening right now to Jesus or Yahushua. But the apostle Barnabas and Paul, hearing of it, rending asunder their own mantles, sprang forward amidst the multitude, crying aloud and saying, "Men, why these things are you doing? We also of like nature with you are men, bringing you the good news that from these vain things you should be turning unto a living Elohim, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all things." Who is that Yahweh? Christ is no different than Paul and Barnabas. He was the hands and feet. Yahweh was in him, reconciling the world unto himself. And now, instead of worshiping Yahweh, who was in Christ, they're worshiping Christ and have thrown away Yahweh. So, our next course will be going into the Gospel of John, and then we'll be handling those difficult verses, which is just fine. It's a great puzzle. But one thing we're going to do from now on is start doing a prophecy, get to hear from our Father instead of reading the Psalms, but we'll have a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. So 1 Corinthians 14 says, covet to prophesy, so we'll get to hear from our Father right now. "My sons and my daughters, know of a surety that I have guided you into this course, that I have brought you here for a purpose, in order to know my word, to know my heart, to read my scriptures, to become rooted and founded in the truths that I set forth into my scriptures. So at no time seek worldly man's wisdom, but come to my scriptures, which you will be rooted and grounded in, if you come humbly into them with your eyes and your heart open." Well, we thank you, Father. Thank you for this, and we thank you, Christ our Savior, that you are second in command only to Yahweh, and we bow to both of you through Christ Yahushua. See you on the next lesson.